This episode of WWE Today is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. Right, Terry?
Right.
And my buddy, he posted online, he said, hey, I'm joining DVC, how can I help? And I suggested he go check this out. And for, since you're the DVC man, you got a DVC podcast, for goodness sake, why don't you tell people what it is?
So DVC Resale Market is a way for you to join the Disney Vacation Club, which is, you know, Disney has a timeshare opportunity where you basically get to own a piece of the magic. And rather than buying direct through Disney at the highest of
At their rack rate,
you're able to go directly to these people and find someone who's decided they've had a life issue and they're selling their interest in the vacation club. And you're able to, I've seen anywhere between a 40, 50, even a 60% savings off of what you pay directly through Disney. And you're able to still stay in all the Disney Vacation Club resorts, from the studios to the one bedrooms, the two bedrooms, the grand villas, even the tree houses.
So if you want to book this and you want to go through them, the website is DVCResaleMarket.com. That's awesome. And make sure you go to them. If you're considering DVC, give them a shot. Contact them. Reach out to them and find out more about it. Because I know DVC can be confusing, which is why Terry has his podcast. But this will at least be a good first step into getting you into a DVC contract.
And when you go talk to Nick over at DVCResaleMarket.com, make sure you let him know you heard about it here on WDW Today.
That's right, because that helps us out. Again, DVC.
ResaleMarket.com.
That's a good jingle. Yeah. It's just flat.
Yeah.
It's good. People remember it.
Horrible voices.
Let's all try. Ready? Okay. Here's where we're going. DVC ResaleMarket.com. Oh, Terry with the bass. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, June the 14th, and this is episode 1568. Of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Welcome back. Terry's back. Will's back. The three of us are back together. I'm the only one who didn't go on vacation. I sat here.
You'll be gone soon enough.
I'll be gone in mid-July. Whoa. It sounds like Frankie Washburn does to Dylan Spears.
Throw him off the boat.
On the pod cruise, if you don't know what those
throw
jokes are.
Throw him off the boat. Get him out of here.
So, we talked about what the next four episodes were going to be. Terry, you missed last week. Do you know what we talked about last week?
No, I don't.
Ooh, right, so you would have liked it.
So, last week, we decided on the live show, the Patreon Producers Club, that we are going to do a monthly deep dive review on everything you can do in each World Showcase Pavilion.
Oh.
So, last week's was Mexico, and now we're working our way around the world. So, we'll deal with that coming up in July. We'll have the next one.
Snorway will be next.
Ooh, we can talk about perfume.
Yeah, we can talk about everything. So, we'll get into that next month. But, Terry's back, and we said we'd discuss this, because these always do, a lot of you guys like them. They do well. We see the download spike when Terry has a trip report. So, Terry.
Yeah, once every other week.
You have a new trip. You just went to the Orlando area, not only to Walt Disney World, for the last 8 days. So, first, you were there for the thing, your event. Tell us how'd that go, and will there be an 18?
There will be an 18.
Or is it the thing 2?
I don't know. We should call it the thing 2.
I kind of like the thing 2 better than
second
the thing 18.
The second thing.
The other thing.
The other thing.
The next thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I had a great time. The thing was fantastic. We had a couple surprises. I called Lee Cockrell, who used to be the vice president of Walt Disney World, and we did a live podcast for the Making Elephants Fly podcast that I do. We'll air that later. We had a great time. It was hot and rainy. It was the rainiest I've ever experienced in Central Florida.
There was no rain, and all of a sudden it's been.
It literally has not rained the entire year in Florida, and it rained almost every day we were there.
Yeah, it came. Everyone just complained about
the pandemic. Not like the 3 o'clock shower, but like the kind of rain where.
Hurricane season.
You throw clothes away after the storm.
Like Winnie the Pooh.
You threw clothes away from rain?
No. But
I was about to say, I've never had that kind of
rain. Like Winnie the Pooh in the dream sequence.
Oh.
And the rain came down, 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 and washed over.
I'm a little black rain cloud.
That's very good. That's perfect.
That was spot on.
You need to call Jim
Hill?
No, who's the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. How about you?
Well, you got caught with a flat. Well,
how about that? How about that?
So,
yeah, moving on. But did you use that as like a life lesson for the thing? Like, sometimes you plan a thing and there's rain.
Yeah, luckily the thing was all inside. So, started really interesting. I left on Tuesday night and landed in Orlando, turned my phone back on, and I had 19 texts from Logan. Hey, man, I know you're supposed to be landing in Orlando right now.
Fair warning.
Fair warning. You're walking into an active shooter situation. And I will say this. I grew up in the District of Columbia area, D.C. I'm used to – my stepfather was in the Secret Service, so I'm used to intense situations. I've been around them even as a child. The Orlando airport has clearly collaborated with Disney, handled the whole situation. Had I not known from you, the only thing I would have known is just that that Terminal A was closed and that my baggage was being rerouted. Now, obviously, I slowed down a little bit to notice, you know, the guys with AK-47s right. and the dogs and the, you know.
And it so, ended up being,
oh, it ended not up being a relatively nothing. There was a guy with a
fake gun.
A fake gun that wanted to bring attention to himself. And they basically, he was there for 2 or 3 hours. So this was still going on.
Yeah, when you landed.
When I was there, like, it was still happening. And they literally the only changes were getting a rental car was a little bit of a challenge. But Hertz handled that fantastically. And, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have known if it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
And they just, there was supervisors at every turn. They were turning people and redirecting people. The luggage situation was a little gnarly because all of Southwest flights were on one terminal.
Oh, I've had them do that before.
On the B side. So there was literally like a guy with a clipboard because their screen wasn't there. All right, Nashville, you're here. You know, and it was a bit. And then there were the people whose bags were stuck on the other side. Right. If you landed when they first closed it and your bags were stuck, you were going to be, they weren't like going to deliver the bags. You had to come back to the airport at 7 o'clock the next day.
Oh, geez.
Because it was so many people. I mean, it was a lot of people. So there was, other than that, I mean, the Orlando airport handled it fantastically. By the time I finally got out of there, one of my speakers was McNair Wilson, and he had got in the day before. And he's like, hey, we're waiting for you at Sam's. So went straight to Trader Sam's, met with him and a couple cast members. And, you know, I think if there's not much of a better way to start a trip than right at Trader Sam's. Went there, and then strangely, the Polynesian Captain Cook's, I believe is the name of that, their menu has changed. Where like I went to get like the pork nachos at midnight, and they weren't even available anymore. So they have a really limited
late night menu.
They used to be one of the only 24-hour places that literally had almost their full menu available, but now they've scaled back. So
it's unfortunate.
Box sandwiches and things.
Yeah. So woke up the next morning. It was kind of the day that I knew I would have kind of that was sort of free. My phone was obviously blowing up with conference things. But when you have a buddy that's a Disney Imagineer that you're collaborating with on some things, so it's like, let's go hang out. So we went to Animal Kingdom, started our day there, went to Pandora, walked around. The lines were just atrocious.
You were planning on rope dropping. Did that happen?
No, because it was by the time we left Waffle House the night before, because the Polynesian was closed.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I got to my hotel room at 3:30.
Yeah,
and so rope drop. And
Leslie wasn't with you.
Leslie didn't land until that night, and so there was no way I was getting up and.
Yeah,
I mean, rope drop was like at 8 that day.
And so you got to Animal Kingdom, crazy lines, all headed to Pandora.
All headed to Pandora. I went ahead because I knew McNair was older. We went ahead and got a guest assistant pass just because I knew there was no way he was going to be able to wait in a 5-hour line.
Right.
So we went and did what anybody in their right mind would do. We went straight to Tiffin's. We had a reservation at 11:30. And it was my first stop at Tiffin's on this trip because, you know, hi, I'm Terry. I have a problem. I'm addicted to Tiffin's. You know, I avoided it for a little while, and now that I've discovered it, it's just like I can't stop.
Oh yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites.
And so, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna get this is give me a chance to try different things. So I had the Wagyu beef the first time, and the octopus, the classics, and we had a great time there. And then just kind of went off and did the safari and a couple of Animal Kingdom-y things. And then we met up with, we went through Pandora and got to see some of that. I was too chubby to ride the old Banshee ride.
Yeah, you said that. You said there was kind of conflicting reports.
I
feel like the test
seats, I was fine. You know, I just didn't feel like going through the process of it again. I mean, I hear the ride's fantastic. McNair texts Joe Rohde and was like, yeah, man, we know that this is a problem. We're dealing with it. So they know that, because it's, you know, I watched two or three guys that have 150 pounds on me get off the ride. So it really just depends on.
So it's more of a, almost a design flaw of.
More than it is a size issue.
Yeah, it's like just certain, like, body dimensions or, like, my legs happen to be longer than my torso or something.
Yeah,
you know,
like a lot of those things. There's a lot of people that it could rule out. Basically, what it is, it's literally the Tron ride from Shanghai.
The Tron, the car.
The car.
The ride vehicle.
The ride.
Because you don't go on a track. It's like a
simulator. No, but the ride vehicle is very, very, very similar. I mean, and Disney has a tendency to do that where they'll take something and then just start from there.
Right.
And then they're going to have to make some. I mean, there's like 15 seats on one of those, so to modify a few. Disney doesn't like people feeling like they're getting left out. I know they'll fix it. They know about it. I know there's a lot of Imagineers that can't ride the ride right now.
Right.
So, you know, those guys are all going to be speaking. And they're working out some details. I saw last night some friends that went to Pandora. I was like, oh, they turned the lights on in Pandora at night really bright because people were complaining it's too dark. And I will say, I would recommend going to Pandora during the day first versus going at night, because I truly, the night thing is cool. It's like, okay, but it's kind of like if you've been to a glow in the dark golf, you've seen things that glow in
like
black lights before.
Light jokes.
Go during the day because the mountains are way more impressive.
You're actually looking at details, not just
outlines of details.
Right.
You get the massiveness, because we went with some friends at night and they had not seen it during the day, and they're like, that mountain doesn't look floating, because you just see kind of the shadows and the outlines. I mean, it is ridiculously impressive, down to the moss walls that they created. I think they spent $500,000 on creating some kind of special procedure to create moss on the walls, because it's supposed to be like a rainforest kind of feel. So it has that, it looks like it's wet and looks like it's weathered.
How did that streetmosphere and those things, especially, one, we've heard people pushing the nighttime. I think it's interesting you're bringing up that you liked it more in the day. But did it feel immersive? Did feel like almost how Harry Potter, those attractions, Wizarding World, you feel like you have been taken out of Universal?
You cross the bridge and something is different.
Okay.
The first thing you come up to when you cross the bridge is this giant plant that looks like a massive, what's the horn that's on the side of a, when you get a record player and it's like an old school record player.
A gramophone.
Gramophone. Yeah. It's massive. It's, you know, 15 feet tall. You touch it and it smokes and it glows. You get the vibe that you're somewhere different. It's definitely, I mean, if you were closely paying attention, you'd realize, wow, I'm a Minnie Mickey and there's no Mickey Minnie here. But
I
think the immersiveness, especially once you get to the center of it, and it's all kind of centered around the floating mountain. Mm. The attractions are in one building.
Both of them?
Both of them are in one building because they had to be evacuated two or three days in a row. They've been having an issue with fire sensor or something. That happened the day we flew out. People were being evacuated into the backstage area. I mean, for as long as it took them to do Pandora, I mean, once the Pandoramodium, as we've called it here before, dies down, you know, it's going to take you an hour to do Pandora.
Ooh. That's it?
I mean, there's two rides. There's a boat ride that is shorter, is half the length of Pirates.
So what is that, like 5 minutes? Not even?
Yeah, 5 minutes or less. You know, there's nothing. It's not like Pirates where the queue is kind of, you feel like you're doing something. The queue to the Flight of the Banshee is rather impressive because you're getting to see them like floating.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that, because I've seen pictures now. It was the only things I've spoiled myself with some of the line stuff. There's the gigantic Avatar.
We missed that because we got the fast pass. I would encourage you when you can to go through the regular queue because it's much different. Obviously,
they've done that on some of those rides and they're disappointed. Same with Universal's done that a lot too, where they built these amazing lines and then the fast pass line is awesome, but you miss this incredibly impressive.
Isn't that the purpose of the line, though, of them putting that stuff in the line, is that if you're having to wait...
I guess that's true.
Yeah, but it's like you're the fastest.
But I'd like to see the giant, the Gringotts Bank.
You got
to
wait.
Yeah.
In the words of the late Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of my two cents on Pandora. I think it'll be down to, like, you'll spend an hour, hour and a half.
But that's not necessarily good for Disney.
No. I mean, they
need you to spend two.
On the live show, if anything, what it does, it says if you're going to shove all of these people to Animal Kingdom, you're going to have to do more.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do more to make this truly an all-day park. Because you're only still talking about, what, five attractions maybe?
Yeah.
You know? And so even if you waited an hour for each of them, that's not your entire day.
And the fact that it took them so long to be able to pull this off, and you're saying that it's an hour of your time?
I mean, it's a pretty small area.
Yeah.
Considering both rides fit in one building. I mean, it's a massive building, which is a little strange because if you were to take Disney buses... And you've seen that big tan building that you're like, oh, they're going to cover that up. Nope. You still see a big, massive ride building from the parking lot.
Yeah.
So is there stuff to do, enough stuff to look at
to prolong your adventure? There's the plants. You can eat at the Suntory Canteen or whatever it's called, or there's a gift shop.
Suntory. No, I'm just kidding. That's risky.
Yeah. And I will say the restaurant was done really well. It's kind of the updated, fast, casual.
Okay.
You get real plates. We went in and had a dessert because we just wanted to kind of go through. The line was fantastic. They're doing mobile ordering there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
There was no line for mobile ordering. So if you're waiting and you're in a hurry, go definitely do the mobile ordering. It's right built into My Disney Experience.
Now, sounds like you don't need to be in a hurry.
We know Star Wars Land is also, they're advertising two attractions.
Oh, God. And see, that's the thing that I was thinking of as I was sitting there experiencing this. If the insanity that it is, if this is the level of insanity
for Pandora,
I mean, I'm planning on experiencing Star Wars Land somewhere around 2026.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know how they're, I literally don't know how they're going.
Was it hard to move around? Like, and there were so many people in there?
Well, they weren't capacity controlling at the days they were, but even when they weren't, I mean, just the line, if you go the rope drop, just the line to get like, a photo pass photographer is going to be like 30 or 40 minutes.
So do they have, speaking of photo pass photographers, do they have character meet and greets?
There's nothing in there. There's just, you can pose with the mountain.
And a plant.
And you can pose with the plant that if you touch gets
phonograph
angry.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what took them so long is my question.
Because it's literally just one building. I mean, I think they were doing ride tech. I mean, but there's nothing impressive. The most impressive part of Avatar was the animatronic on the boat ride.
Yeah, so tell me, this is probably a spoiler alert for those of you listening. I want to hear some detail about the boat ride. So if you don't want to hear, if you don't want to spoil, Logan, you can step out.
I may.
But go for it, because I'll talk to Terry. Talk to Terry about this.
I'll sit by the window. You just tell me when to come back.
Cool. Logan doesn't want it spoiled, but I'm interested. And so I think some people that are listening probably want to hear what your thoughts are and experience and some details. So turn it off if you don't want to hear it. But Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, and we'll do this in a couple of minutes. So you can fast forward, and we're still talking about the boat ride. The queue is almost all outside until you're basically getting put in a vehicle.
Uh-huh.
So if it's hot at all, you're going to be stuck outside under like a covering made of twigs.
Okay.
Of dead Pandora, I guess, is what they're trying to give you. The like, this is what happened when the people came to Pandora.
Huh. So you are outside for that queue.
Yeah. You get inside. The boat's basically two rows.
Is it two rows of three or two of two?
Yourself and two children could fit in there. So okay. It's probably three adults.
Two
or three adults, and then it's definitely smaller. You know, you're basically completely immersed in Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few screens with some things moving. Honestly, I thought what was the most impressive was the things that were going on above you.
Okay.
There was some like leaves with like bugs crawling on them. I mean, it was super cool, but it wasn't like, wow, I'd wait in line for a day for this. Like, if I walked by and there was less than a 15-minute line, I'd go ride the ride.
So you're saying that the Frozen Ever After ride was much more impressive than this.
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting.
The one animatronic, there is an animatronic of like the Queen Navi or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That animatronic, if you're like nerded out by animatronics, it looked like a human being. Like it was so fluid. There was no like.
That's cool.
There was nothing robotic about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was obviously, it's basically if you walk through the park at night, that's what the boat ride is.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, as McNair, I enjoyed it the first time because I wrote it with McNair and he just kept singing Dead Men Eat No Kale the entire ride. And so
it was very similar to Pirates.
Yes. It was the Pirates ride with no redhead.
And shorter. Interesting.
All right. You're on a short boat.
Any other details that Logan may be offended if he hears before he goes that you want to share about it?
No. I mean,
you thought it was cool, just it wasn't, it didn't quite live up to hype.
It probably won't make my fast passes if I had to choose my top three.
At Animal Kingdom?
At Animal Kingdom, I would do Safari Everest, then I'd probably do Festival of the Lion King before I would do that.
All right. That's interesting.
No.
All right, I'll bring Logan back in. That's, was not expecting you to say that.
Yeah.
Logan, and he wouldn't fast pass it. He would not waste a fast pass.
One of my original three.
On the boat ride.
Are they tiered? Can you do all?
No. Yeah, people are already using. I'll tell you this: what people are thinking about it, it's already showing up as an option for your roaming fourth.
So it's not. People aren't snagging it.
If people are getting in line and rope dropping it, and they've got another one, they're not riding it again. They're just dropping that fast pass and they're picking something else up.
I want to do it.
But well, clearly, you wouldn't do it.
I'm a boat ride aficionado.
I'm a boat aficionado. Not rides, just boats.
I can't think of a boat ride I don't like.
I didn't say I didn't like.
Storybookville, whatever.
Bumper boats at the carnival.
I like bumper boats.
Oh, I love some bumper boats.
I haven't done a bumper boat in ages. Panama City when I was 10 years old, probably the last time.
We can get you a bumper boat. We can rent one, bring it out here.
Where could we ride?
Hover bumper boats.
No, I don't want it hovering. I want the motor.
The motor with the little board.
Yeah. You have to pull your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to go straight with those.
They still have them. The problem is the pools are always too small at a bumper boat.
I think that's my favorite of all the things you can do, like beachside road attraction, you know, those
bumper
things.
Bumper boats.
PCB. I love a good bumper boat.
I'm sure.
If they made bumper boats
In Navi. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Best thing ever. You got a big like black light painted. Yeah.
Not made out of the bodies of Navi.
No. No, just inside that boat ride arena. All right, so is what I call it. Battle arena.
So yeah. we're leaving Pandora. Yeah, and then after we left Pandora, we're still on the first day, or second, yeah, the first full day. McNair played a big role in creating Tower of Terror. So those folks that were in either my mastermind or coaching groups, I said, hey, we'll meet at Hollywood Studios and we'll go and we'll get McNair's kind of process that he went through to create. They went through to create the ride. And so we did that. And then we went to do the new Pixar symphony thing.
Yeah.
And that was way more than I was expecting it to be. That's like 50 minutes long.
That's awesome.
Jeez.
I was thinking that was going to, because I saw the preview, it was like 15 minutes. I was like, oh gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was almost an hour with a little pre-show with the Green Army Men, and the characters come out during if the song is about the characters, they come out, or at least a couple of them come out, like Mike and
just
Sully.
Like on stage,
kind of in the audience. The Green Army Men are kind of interacting throughout with you. It was super fun. That was really
is that
well done.
Place Beauty and the Beast, or just
it's just
half
it's
the
night
the
after Beauty and the Beast is done, because Beauty and the Beast normally ends at like 5.
Yeah,
it's kind of the nighttime. So there's like 3 or 4 shows normally.
See, I like that. It seems like it's got a lot of
razzmatazz.
No, like something you could do over and over again, because it's like going to a concert. You're seeing live music that's very rare that you see
a symphony orchestra in a theme park.
Right, it's pretty neat. It sounded good?
Oh, it sounded great with full projections of your favorite scenes or movies, and they had a cool like when you got in.
How do they know that it's my favorite?
when you get in the theater, there's like a text to poll kind of game going on, so you can who's your favorite, or if you were to go on vacation with any toy from Toy Story, kind of like those kind of goofy questions.
It's a weird question to ask. In what way are they?
Can't you just take it with you?
Are they in alive mode? Or are they in toy mode?
That's a good question.
That would change my answer.
Tale as old as time.
Who would Will take?
I would take Lil Bo Peep.
That's what I figured. Annie Potts.
No, I'd probably take the...
Annie Potts. I'm playing Lil Bo Peep.
I like Lotso.
Lotso.
Oh, he's evil, though.
Yeah, but he smells like strawberries.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good toy for a child. He's evil to other toys.
You're an adult, though, taking this toy on vacation with you.
It's hot pink.
I like stuffed animals.
Okay, I think I would take... Oh, all of them sound creepy when I say it. I'll take Mr. Potato Head.
See, I was going to go Mr. Potato Head, too.
Or maybe the squeaking one.
Oh,
he passed away. All right.
The dog? Slinky Dog?
No, no. Oh, the
penguin. Squeaks. Penguin. Squeaky.
Squeaks.
Yeah, whatever the name it was. All right.
You just Norm MacDonald and
Yeah, and then so we ended our day at Primetime Cafe. A lot of fun. And then Thursday was our VIP day at the conference.
Did you see any of the projection show or any of the new stuff?
We saw just a few minutes of it. It looked fantastic. We stood there and kind of watched it for...
As you walked out.
As we had a reservation. So I didn't know when I made the reservation. I didn't know
there was a secret show.
But it seemed brighter. The weird thing I will say about projection shows... They seem to be all in on them at Hollywood Studios. Why in the heck are there four giant palm trees in front of what you're supposed to be watching projection on?
What is the deal?
I kind of agree. It's not like the palm trees had that much visual appeal. Yeah,
and that's like there's palm trees in front of the actual Chinese theater.
Right. So
if you really want to make it authentic, you need like a fake mini in front
of Elmo out there. Superman, like characters that are not owned by Disney.
Superman, but like a little off.
Yes.
By his costume and by his person.
Yeah.
All right. Will keeps playing footsie with me.
You just keep sticking your foot all the way on my side, man.
I got long legs. All right.
And I thought you had short legs.
Short legs. But they extend.
We call them old T-Rex.
The next day we had the conference in the morning. We took all of all the people that did the VIP package. We went to Sanaa for lunch.
Sanaa.
Everybody loved the bread service. It was a big hit. They were fantastic to work with. They were kind enough to send the chef out to kind of give us the history of Sanaa and what the name meant and kind of take everyone through
the menu. What does it mean?
Oh, I forgot. It's like something journey.
Don't tee yourself up for that one.
Yeah.
I was solving a problem during at that point.
And then, okay.
So we went to Magic.
If you got a problem, Terry will solve it.
Well, we did have a problem because we had tickets for everybody as part of their package. And Disney ticketing went down that morning. Like, they were having a lot of My Disney Experience and ticketing issues when we were there. So we did a tour around Magic Kingdom, spent the day, you know, just experiencing Magic Kingdom, and did obviously end the day with Happily Ever After, which was absolutely wonderful as far as nighttime spectaculars go. I will think that it'll make a big change. I mentioned this on our live show earlier that for our Patreon...
Yes, Patreon subscribers.
Subscribers, yep. Thank you very much for the supporting.
Patreon patrons.
Patreon patrons, thank you for supporting the work we do. And it's going to change a little bit. Wishes was something you could watch from many places on property. And there's still lots to see fireworks-wise. But the projection is a huge part of that. I was standing there and just singing like, Wishes. You know, I was kind of like, this is sort of sad. I'm not watching Wishes right now. But the show did not disappoint. The projection was... unbelievable. It was ridiculously bright. Disney has obviously honed in that technology.
I look forward to seeing it. If you want to see what you're talking about, like if you tried to watch it off property, the Tim Tracker recently, I think it was yesterday's video, he put up, or it would be this week if you're seeing it, he watched it from Bay Lake Tower and posted a video kind of what it's like now. He talked about that as well. So you can go watch that on the Tim Tracker. It just came out. It's called Watching Disney Fireworks from the Bay Lake Tower.
Okay. It's probably... I mean, there's only like a few segments, and there wasn't.
It looks less though when you watch it. Like it does have a little less of the. There are some awesome firework effects. The fireworks look great still, but it is a little different.
And that's one of the things that you may not is there are. There's definitely some new firework technology. Like when the Brave scene comes out, there's an arrow and a target, and that was great. There's a projection scene, I think it's for the genie, where the castle turns into a rocket that's just ridiculous.
That's awesome.
The projection stuff they did was just insane. Definitely, if you're going this summer or this year, get a spot an hour before fireworks. It's worth it. We were right by the partner statue. I'm so glad we did that.
Would it be worth doing dessert party for it?
Honestly, because the dessert party is sort of off-center.
That's what I meant, yeah.
I don't think that's a great viewing area for the fireworks. Because just being square on in front of it. I mean, the best part about the dessert party is, you know, you're right on below where Tinkerbell would land.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think just having a view, I would say try to be anywhere between, you know, not the first third of the hub, but anywhere from like Casey's Corner forward, where you can have just a clear view of the castle.
Gotcha.
I think you're in good shape. But yeah, so we did that. And then obviously we did 3 days of the conference. We were really focused on that. We went to Lanuba on Saturday night. Got to see that.
Before it closes. You're ready for it to close.
Yeah, I mean, I did get to meet the manager that's kind of like over that and kind of got some inside scoop on what's happening, which is a little different than what I thought because there's a lot closing in that area. I was kind of like, okay, they're going to just Disney Springs this sucker to as far as they can go. But he said the theater basically just needs almost 9 months of refurb. You know, it's a 20-year-old show. So, I mean, you think about sound and light technology,
right?
How much that's come in 20 years, that's ridiculous. So, I mean, everything I think in the building is analog and everything's
digital.
So,
are they planning on it being another Cirque-style show?
Another Cirque-style show.
Cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cirque and Disney did a collaboration. I would love to see that. They've been doing a lot of those lately. It would make a whole lot of sense.
I would pay money to see it. And I guess what's the difference? Right now, Lanuba has hung over my head for 20 years, including the time I lived there for multiple years and never pulled the trigger on going. I may have been once, but I have no recollection of it.
I feel like we were supposed to go specifically one time I can remember, and we decided not to go.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of the deal with Lanuba. Now, I do feel like it's time. I would kind of say that same thing with the Blue Man Group over at Universal. Every time we walk through, I'm like, oh, that would be fun.
But and they've only been there for like 5 or 6 years, right?
Probably at least now, but yeah, close to, I'd say getting close to 10 years probably. But I look at that and go, yeah, but it eats into park time. And
like I'm just mad that they're in the Nickelodeon building.
Because
that was my favorite.
Their fault.
That was my favorite part of Universal as a kid. So, but anyways, so yeah, we did Lanuba and then finished the conference on Sunday night at the thing. And then we started off kind of a couple of days at Disney for my wife and I, and obviously some thing people were still kind of hanging around for a couple of days. Started off at something I'd never done before. I ate at the Wave.
Okay.
At the Contemporary. They've kind of beefed up their breakfast.
Yes.
And it's sort of like almost like brunch every day. So they have a buffet and an a la carte menu.
With favorite new place.
You perked up my ears.
Because here's the thing. The Wave, I've eaten at breakfast before, and the breakfast is good. Other than that, there ain't no reason to go there. There's no theming. It feels like a conference room.
Yeah, so they've added bottomless mimosas, which you'll be happy with.
The only people that will get that are very few, but okay.
They have a key lime eggs benedict.
If you ever see me in person, ask me about bottomless mimosas, and I'll tell you about him.
Shem.
So we had the key lime. I had a fantastic Bloody Mary and the key lime Eggs Benedict with the Tillamook cheddar.
So it's
cheddar.
A sweet Eggs Benedict with the key lime, well, like a key lime pie?
Well, no, just a sweet Eggs Benedict before. Well,
I know. I'm asking if that's what it is.
So hollandaise sauce is typically made with lemons. They just make it with limes.
Oh, gotcha. So it's not like they have like a custard on
lime it. Lime sauce.
It's, yeah. So it's just a little different take
on
it.
Yeah, I like that idea. I would eat that.
It was super affordable. It was nice. I mean, compared to brunch upstairs being over $100, this was $25, if that, with alcohol. So it was a good start, good relaxing start to the day. And then we went over to Epcot and started kind of weirdly in France, which really throws off your around the world mojo.
Yeah.
But
why did you start in France?
Because we international gatewayed. So you're kind of there anyways. And the wine bar was a hit with everybody.
In Italy?
In Italy.
Yep.
And then we actually ended up, we did what you do in the World Showcase. I don't think we rewrote anything, unless you count La Cava as a ride.
Not even the Grand Fiesta Tour.
It was down. which it frequently goes down.
It does.
And then we went over to eat at Tiffin's again because they wanted to eat at Tiffin's.
Park hop like crazy. It's good. I wish this is like pre-kid me. I wish I could experience this.
Well, we did the
monorail
and all that, so that made it a little more. Actually, we Ubered from the Contemporary to Boardwalk, walked over in International. I actually lifted, and that was great. That saved a lot of time.
Yeah, the Uber and Lyft is really, and I know Disney's toyed with doing their own thing, and that's great, but that has been a savior for us on multiple occasions.
Oh, yeah, and it just, if you want to take out the thing that makes you frustrated at Disney, in fact, I encouraged our people at the thing. I was like, if you want to experience Disney's biggest issue right now, when you leave Sanaa, ride the bus and tell me how great of an experience
that
was.
It's so hard to find a sober driver. That's the biggest issue Disney deals with.
Now, when you Uber, because I haven't Ubered to any of the parks. I've only Ubered really hotels.
So Animal Kingdom, they dropped us right off.
And that one, I figured you can go close.
You go right there.
Studio's probably the same.
Studio's the same.
Epcot, do they take you to the, you have to go to the transportation center?
No, they take you right there. Okay. Yeah. So it's obviously.
And Magic Kingdom, just go to the Contemporary.
You go to the Contemporary
yeah.
and walk up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that we did that. And then we went, and I got to try the Yellow Snapper, the full fried Yellow Snapper, which was way better than I was expecting it to be. That was great. And I got to have a popcorn curry soup, which was quite tasty.
Saw that advertised.
Yeah. It was fun. It had lobster in it, but by lobster, it meant like three pieces of lobster.
Imitation lobster.
No, it was real lobster, but it was just...
Like what Bart Scott eats.
like crab stick?
Out of the can.
What?
That's his thing.
I didn't know they made imitation lobster.
Maybe I'm thinking imitation crab.
crab stick.
I'm sorry, Bart, if you're listening.
I got to find out from Bart if that's a thing.
I'm going to text him.
So... And then we did Rivers of Light, which was my kind of second time. Everybody wanted to do it. I could have kind of, I was indifferent about it.
Still bad?
Oh, man, it's still no story. And literally when I walked out, I must have heard four parties say around me, well, we won't have to do that again.
Okay, what was that?
Oh, geez, that's so bad.
And they spent so much time and energy on it. It has a lot of potential. They've built the water. Knowing what they've done with World of Color, I just wish they would go Disney on it and bring in the Disney stories.
Yeah, no one would complain.
No one would complain.
It's not
like it's not like they're defacing Animal Kingdom. It's the opposite of what they would be doing at Epcot if they, you know, made that like a character show or something. People feel like they want it there. It doesn't make sense. And then that was when I saw Pandora at Night, which was fun.
All right.
It was a night out.
Was a night out, and then...
Mark did clarify, he eats imitation crab.
Yes.
But I'm not opposed to lobster.
That's a thing, though.
That was a day, and then we, you know, there was nothing kind of new. We, you know, we went to do some Magic Kingdom stuff.
Presidents hasn't opened yet.
Presidents hasn't opened. We did watch one of the Muppet Show we hadn't seen. Watched that. And I love the live Muppets.
Are they actual? Are they puppeteered?
Yeah,
they are. Okay, puppeteered to a track is what I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I need to see it.
Yeah, there's two shows, and I think that I've heard there's a third one. They just haven't done yet.
All right,
cool. I imagine they'll do one that's new that corresponds with the new Hall of Presidents show. Whatever changes they make there,
we shall see.
I did the BB-8. Character meet and greet, which is...
Is as disappointing as I thought, it sounds like. Because I've
way
been
more...
bragging against this thing, and people have been like, no, it's excellent. I'm like, it doesn't look excellent to me.
I mean, just literally imagine you saw a real BB-8 rolling around, and you picked him up and turned him off and put him on a table and just left the feature where his head moves and he makes sounds.
And waited in line.
We waited in line for two people.
I mean, that's what it seems like. No one's waiting in line to do it.
And so it's... The Jawas are way more fun than the BB-8.
And Kylo and Chewie.
Yeah,
is it Kylo or is it Vader?
It's Kylo. It's Kylo both in the Chase Visa and in the regular line.
Is that two different Kylos that they just bring you in?
I don't know.
I thought maybe they just backdoored you.
You might be a backdoor.
Two different Kylos.
All right. Anything else you did? That's it.
Those are the new things we did. I'm trying to think if we did. We ended with California Grill because we try to end with one of our favorites, and that, you know, we went to all the parks and It was a good trip. Our flight got canceled on the way back, so we ended up doing the old Hyatt.
I love that airport Hyatt.
Oh, yeah, I saw you put a screenshot that your flight was booked or was moved.
Was booked. Your flight was booked.
Just getting us ready for the Norway review.
Was moved to like 3:30 in the 3:30 morning.
3:30 in the morning.
And they were going to leave? Did they leave?
What? Like, yeah, the flight was... It happened.
Yeah, like, it happened. It wasn't canceled.
But they basically said you need to come to the airport at your arrival time. So they basically said, hey, you need to get to the airport at
just in case
at 9 o'clock and sit there potentially for 6 hours. And I just said, hey, just move us to the next one. We'll move our reservation back and go do a few extra things at the Magic Kingdom, because we really hadn't – Leslie and I hadn't got a chance just to hang out at the Magic Kingdom without – a lot of people, so.
I still can't get over the way you said booked.
Booked.
I said moved as well.
Moved.
Well.
You're the, speaking of Muppets.
Yeah. Speaking of Muppets and speaking of time to go, I think it's time we wrap it up.
Yeah.
Lynn will be back probably next week or the week after that. Got to get in touch with him, see what his availability is to answer some more questions.
We really stretched out that last one.
We did, but it's been a busy time around here. So we thank you all for listening. But before we get to the sponsor, I do want to say, I was just talking to Tony at the Pod Cruise. We need about 10 more cabins booked this next week.
That would be helpful.
So if you're planning on going, get your deposit in. It's only gone up. Now it's like instead of $50, it's $100 deposit. Get your money
per
in.
Cabin.
Per cabin. Get your room in. Get your money in and join us on the Pod Cruise. It's going to be a blast. It really helps us out. And we look forward to seeing you guys there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you find us there. We're all going to be podcasting. We're all going to be hanging out. Let's do it all together. That's March 7th through 10th of next year. And it is on the Norwegian Epic, leaving out of Port Canaveral, so you can team it up with an Orlando trip if you're not local. And we appreciate everyone who's coming out so far. It's going to be a blast. Again, that is next year, next March. You can find out all the details and to get your deposit in. That's at podcruise.com. Oh, also, we'll put this in there. Also, if you want to book on the Pod Cruise, we never say this, but not only do you get unlimited beverages, and that includes your adult beverages and all these great food options and entertainment. It's going to be a blast. We're going to be doing live shows. But also, you get a T-shirt. You get lanyards. Get lots of extras. It's going to be a swag bag with all of our sponsors. And if you want to sponsor the Pod Cruise, like say, let's say you have a business. Small business, big business. I don't care.
Big oil. ExxonMobil, if you're listening.
Yeah. And you want to go on the cruise, we have a great option for those people that want to both go on the cruise and get their name out there. So you'll get a cruise room, a stateroom as part of your package. Reach out to me however you see fit. You can tweet me. You can send me a message, an email, however you can find my contact. Just do that. Again, that's at podcruise.com or ask Tony, and he'll get you in touch with me when you go ahead to try to book your room. And we will make sure we get it done for you guys. All right, Terry, this week's sponsor is who?
Yeah, this show has been brought to you by our good friends at DVCResaleMarket.com. Your place. If you want to get in some of that DVC magic and yet don't want to pay those big Disney prices,
yep.
You can get almost like a lot of these resorts, you can get almost a 50% savings on buying DVC. You know what I love about DVC is it gives you the chance to know that every year you have your vacation kind of set aside. You can stay at one of the studios, or if you have a large family, you can get a grand villa, 3-bedroom. You can stay at one of the tree houses, all of the great Disney properties. Almost, it seems like almost every resort now has a DVC section. The new Copper Canyon Boulder Ridge over there at the Wilderness Lodge.
James Taylor song.
Copper Line.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And the great thing about DVC Resale Market is all of them are former DVC guides, so they know it. They have.
Kind of like that Sprint commercial now that has the old Verizon guy in it.
Yes.
The trickster. All right. So
you
what's
can go see Nick and his awesome team over at DVCResaleMarket.com.
Thanks to you guys. Thanks to DVC Resale Market. All right. And if you for some reason can't type, you know how to type, go to WDWtoday.com. Click on our preferred magic makers and you can magic providers, and you can find a link to their website there too. So hopefully that helps out. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with a new topic picked from our producers club. It's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll see you on the next show. The summer's gone.